Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, the second hour of our program. And if you've missed the first hour and you want to hear the hour in reprise, just check us out on Monday because we post podcasts at drhoffman.com. We also have lots of additional podcasts there, stuff that is not broadcast over the airwaves, but only is available exclusive content at drhoffman.com. And it's free. Some great interviews this week, and we talked to Dr. Nathan Bryan about nitric oxide this week. That's a podcast that you won't want to miss. Also, we have a special clinical focus on gluten that I did with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin. That's an important one to listen to because we talk about how hidden sources of gluten intrude their way into our diets unbeknownst to us. So if you think you're gluten-free, but, well, you may be overlooking some hidden sources of gluten, so check out the podcast. 888-302-3684 is our number, and we will take some calls momentarily. But I think one of the big stories this week, it's actually a pretty simple story, and it kind of harkens back to something that, you know, I really practice what I preach because I live in New York City, which is the world's capital of gastronomy. And I also live in the epicenter of Restaurant Row in New York, which is the Upper East Side. And yeah, you have those of you from Brooklyn or other parts of New York, the Upper West Side, you're going to stake a claim to fame as being the gastronomic center of New York. Fine. Okay. But there are plenty of restaurants here, lots of opportunities to eat. Lots of opportunities for me to be a foodie, but I got to tell you that I consume about 95% of my meals at home. And that is because I can exert control over what I eat. It's not that I'm cheap. I mean, certainly you can economize by eating at home, and that's important. That is important for a lot of people who are living on a budget. And all too many people put themselves in hock to eat out. You know, I can't stand it when I see people going to Starbucks and they drop $3 or $4 on some kind of flavored coffee every single day, day in and day out. And these are wage earners who don't make that much. And then they eat out and they get hit up for another 10 or 12 or $15 for a lunch. And then they go out to dinner. And I'll tell you, in New York, you cannot go out for dinner and eat a decent dinner for under $30 per person. I mean, and some of the places, just astronomical. So, yeah, okay, expenses, that's a factor. But also, it's about control. And here's a study from the Johns Hopkins University School of Public Health that underscores that principle and may convince you to eat home more. People who frequently cook meals at home and eat healthier and consume fewer calories than those who cook less, according to new research. Yeah, it's a no-brainer. But this is confirmed by a large study reported at the American Public Health Association's annual meeting in New Orleans. Of all places, it's held in New Orleans, the gastronomic excess capital of the world, right? They probably reported on the study, and then they went out to have some kind of exotic New Orleans gumbo ribs extravaganza, right? But the findings suggest that those who frequently cooked at home 6 to 7 nights a week also consumed fewer calories on the occasions when they ate out. And that, yeah, there may be a carryover effect because you eat carefully at home and you're going to order with a little more discretion when you go out, pick restaurants that have more wholesome food offerings. The researchers found that 48% of participants cooked dinner 6 to 7 times a week, and they consumed 2,164 calories. And those who ate out had 2,300 calories. So 2,160 versus 2,300. for those who ate out, 2,300 for those who ate home, 2,160. And the amounts of fat, the amounts of sugar, much higher in those who ate out. Actually, it's interesting, the amount of fat, pretty comparable in those who ate out, but there was about 20 more grams of sugar consumed by those who ate out. And, you know, unfortunately, and this is a shame, the research has found blacks are more likely to live in households where cooking occurs less frequently than whites. And, well, there may be some exceptions. I'm sure that it's not because they're all going to, you know, super upscale gourmet restaurants. They're mostly going to fast food eateries if they are in neighborhoods that are nutritional deserts where good food offerings are few and far between. Also, individuals who work more than 35 hours a week predictably ate outside the home and cook less often than those who are less engaged in the workforce. So this is, yeah, an important measure that people can take to safeguard their health. Eat at home, save money, to select fresh foods that you can prepare on your own, unadorned, simple. You know what goes into the foods. Also, hey, they didn't even mention chemicals, preservatives, additives, artificial flavorings. You can control this when you select your own ingredients. So I encourage you to do so. Save the money for, you know, for concerts, for trips, for fabulous life experiences, for gifts to your friends, or put, you know, beautiful furniture in your house, beautiful clothes on your back. Give money to charity. Save money by cooking at home. All right, let's talk to Sandra in New York City. Hey, Sandra, you're a New York City dweller. Are you a big foodie? Do you eat out all the time at fabulous New York City restaurants that where you have to get reservations 3 months in advance?
No, actually, I was listening to you talk about cooking, and that's what I primarily do. Eating out is tricky here.
Yeah.
You really have to know, and then there's the issue of whether or not is the kale organic. I really don't want a plate full of pesticides.
Exactly.
I get a lot. My go-to place is Juice Press.
Oh, okay.
Salads and juices, and they're normally organic, but then also there are a lot of those juiceries popping up everywhere because it's the trend, and you don't know where they're kale. You know, it's not necessarily organic. It's become very, very tricky here. But I was listening to your cooking stories and thinking that's really the way to go. I mean, you can be in charge of it. You can make sure your salt is sea salt. You can, you know, cook with coconut oil instead of something horrifying. So it's very, very tricky. So I'm glad you're spreading the word so much.
Absolutely. And you certainly are adhering to the gospel because you practice what you preach.
Exactly.
All right.
Yes.
So what's your question, Sandra?
Well, here's the story. And if you could, it'd be great if you could shed some light. So simultaneously or right in a row, I found out that I'm compound hetero MTHFR. So I started.
Can I just pause and explain that to our listening audience? There's this new thing, capability that we now have. Let's face it, it's kind of a trendoid thing because it's in complementary medicine. These new paradigms arise, and everybody's all over this new paradigm. We talked about it on our Intelligent Medicine podcasts, MTHFR. And yes, this is a family show, but that stands for methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase. It doesn't stand for the other thing, MTHFR. Okay. So what that is, it's an enzyme, and some people have a glitch in their enzyme, which means that they may require more methylated B vitamins, in particular folate, not folic acid, but folate and methylated B12. And also bioavailable forms of B6 and perhaps betaine. It's tough to drive that. And it has a little bit to do with the homocysteine story, but it's not quite that. And people with that kind of problem, they have all kinds of weird stuff going on in their body because it's such a ubiquitous pathway. It affects virtually everything. They can have everything from, psychological disorders to allergies, intolerances, higher propensity of cardiovascular disease, cancer, you name it. And it's a really important new theme in complementary and alternative medicine. So anyway, you got tested, and you're a double hit on that. You're homozygous, is that correct, for C677?
No. Oh, good God, no, no. Compound heteros. So I have
compound hetero.
But it's not knock on wood, quite as frightening as the homozygous.
Okay, so by the way, my experience is the people who have one of each of those hits, their compound heterozygous, they have kind of a they have a little bit of a rough patch when it comes to their health, and they can be healthy and live 90 years, but it's sometimes they're very sensitive to certain things. They have weird kind of health problems. Is that you?
Yeah, it's gotten a little weird, especially with food sensitivities, mainly GMOs, pesticides, and the methylation pathway is pretty much energy in, toxins out. And if you have a hiccup, the toxins don't really go out like they should.
I think you stated really beautifully. It's actually true, is that people who don't methylate properly, they're the so-called canaries in the coal mine of our modern era. They don't detoxify as readily, and they're more susceptible to the effects of environmental toxins. So, all right. So what's your question specifically around that?
So the question is, I found out about that and then took that very first step of, oh, good God, I have amalgams. I've been holding on to mercury. I got those taken out. And right after I started taking some methyl donors, which you mentioned, methyl B12, methyl folate, and some TMG, the anhydrous betaine, we got a mold toxicity test in our home, and there was a pretty high spore count, just blephospores, nothing horrifying, but I've been coughing, and I'm trying to sort out, am I coughing because I'm over-methylating? Am I coughing because there's mold?
So let me just say right out, this is complicated. And this, this is a busman's holiday for me because it sounds like exactly what transpires in my office. I often see very complex patients.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. And this is my weekend. Come on, give me a break.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, it's not an easy question. So, look, there's a bunch of factors going on. The timing of, should you methylate before you have your mercury taken out? Do you have, underlying problem like candida, which renders you more susceptible to the effects of mercury? Or is it just coincidental that, the mold appeared and now you're coughing? It has nothing to do with the fact you're taking the B vitamins. We don't know. And then there is actually some people who over methylate, like you say, and we do a genetic test that helps us determine whether some people can have a backfire when they take too much of the B vitamins. It actually can happen. So it's not just a matter of, okay, you got this. Everybody should take lots of, natural folate, B12. And sometimes it doesn't work because there can be problems. So the answer is, I don't know. It's complicated. and we just don't know the answer. But, look, you're on a quest, and I think you're on the right track looking at, identifying your health issues. And you should eat natural foods at home. That's the you're helping yourself a lot in that respect. But living in New York City is not easy because the air is bad, and you could have a lot of toxins in your bloodstream. All right, thanks for calling. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and you're listening to Intelligent Medicine. Our number 888-302-3684 if you want to get in on the conversation.
This traffic report from the bloodstream brought to you by Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Well, that inbound blood flow is really slowing down now due to plaque from cholesterol, but help's on the way from Kyolic. More than 750 peer-reviewed research studies indicate that Kyolic not only keeps circulation moving smoothly, it also helps improve a number of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is made from 100% organically grown garlic, is completely odorless, and won't upset your stomach. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Look for Kyolic at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Help keep your system stay humming along with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract today.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Speaking of intelligence, I was really surprised by this story because it's a story about turmeric, the ordinary kitchen spice turmeric, which is a source of curcumin, which is the bioactive compound in turmeric that is anti-inflammatory and that may help to prevent Alzheimer's. There's lots of research on turmeric, the effect against dementia and Alzheimer's. And this new study looks at just simple turmeric, the kitchen spice, the orange stuff that's in curry. Adding just 1 gram of turmeric to breakfast, I guess you could mix it with your scrambled eggs, could help improve the memory of people who are in the very early stages of diabetes and at risk of cognitive impairment. You know, diabetes, any elevation of hemoglobin A1C above 5.5 will dramatically escalate your risk of dementia. So curcumin, actually not just the kitchen spice, turmeric does it. But the concern that many people have is that ordinary turmeric is not bioavailable, doesn't get into the bloodstream, and it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier that effectively. So at the Hoffman Center, we've adopted a new supplement. It's called Cogumin, C-O-G-U-M-I-N. It's a form of curcumin that utilizes solid lipid curcumin particle technology, SLCP technology. So the product's called Cogumin SLCP, and that's what we're going to use to help people with neurological conditions, Parkinson's, dementia, Alzheimer's. It's a new way of getting that into your system. But if ordinary turmeric works, so much the better. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
As a doctor, I'm always looking for ways to improve my patients' lives. And as an athlete, I'm always looking for ways to improve my own stamina and vitality. That's why I was excited to discover Super Beets. You know, fresh beet juice is great. It's proven to enhance athletic performance, but it's a mess to make and some people can't stand the taste. Super Beets helps your body create nitric oxide, which helps you boost circulation, relax arteries, and maintain healthy blood pressure levels. Get the benefits of 3 whole beets in just 1 teaspoon of Super Beets. I feel confident offering this to my listeners because I personally take Super Beets. It's my new favorite product. It gives me energy, stamina, and endurance. Go to intelligentbeets.com now, and with my special offer, you get a 30-day supply for free with your first order, plus get a free book, Beat the Odds, to learn more about the benefits of beets, free shipping, and a 100% money-back guarantee. So call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com. That's 800-738-2198. Again, 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com right now.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity, and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684. And if you can't get through today, you can email us your question to radioprogram, that's one word, radioprogram@AOL.com. And if your question is appropriate and succinct, and of general interest, we will answer your question on one of our weekly Q&A with Layla podcasts. Many of you have discovered Q&A with Layla. That's a weekly podcast that we do, and we post them at drhoffman.com. And it's an opportunity for you to hear us tackle medical and nutritional questions. And interestingly, you know, we've talked to some great guests. We've talked to Dr. David Perlmutter, Dr. William Davis, Dr. Barry Sears, Dr. Stephen Sinatra, innumerable luminaries during our weekday podcast that we posted at drhoffman.com. But when we did an analysis of the top 10 podcasts, and interestingly, 9 out of 10 of them were our weekly Q&A with Layla session. So you must be enjoying them because you never know what gets tackled. It's kind of like listening to the radio program, and it's also an opportunity for you to hear your question answered. So radioprogram@AOL.com gets you access to, hopefully, our expertise, and we'll hope to try and point you in the right direction if you've got a problem or a nutritional question. All right, this item is, a nutritional question, which is, why is the prevalence of celiac disease and gluten intolerance going up? And some people say, well, you know, it's just a fad. You know, it's like one of those Southern California things, you know, everybody's walking around, it's kind of fashionable. I'm gluten-free. But I'll tell you, from my perspective as a medical nutritionist, this is the biggest thing that has happened in the past 3 decades, because we initially suspected that people had a lot of food allergies, but we didn't realize the extent to which people have either allergy or some kind of sensitivity. It goes beyond allergy. It sometimes results in autoimmunity or some kind of differently transmitted malaise that is caused by gluten. And elimination of gluten helps so many people, not just in terms of gastrointestinal problems, but in terms of brain fog, in terms of ability to lose weight, in terms of skin conditions, you name it, allergies, nasal congestion. I personally follow a gluten-free diet, and it's really helped me with my seasonal allergies. All right, so what's up with that? Because was this so prevalent? If this was such a problem in ancient times, entire civilizations who subsisted on wheat, you know, in ancient Mesopotamia, or the Romans, you know, Roman meal bread. That's how the gladiators ate. They gave them a hunk of bread and, you know, maybe some wheat porridge. Turns out they didn't get a lot of meat. And they survived and thrived and, you know, were well-muscled. The average Roman soldier got a ration of wheat or barley that they ate on a daily basis. Didn't get a lot of meat. So what's up with it? Why did this result in robust health and well-being in ancient times? And now so many people are sensitive. And, okay, it's been speculated that we've changed the wheat. We have actually modified wheat to have a higher gluten content, and that's part of it. Also, we're perhaps less fit in terms of our gastrointestinal tracts. We take too many antibiotics. Not enough of us are breastfed. And we disrupt our flora with powerful acid-blocking medications, chlorinated water, fluoride treatments for our teeth, and so on and so on and so on. Maybe our gastrointestinal tracts are more vulnerable to the potentially adverse effects of wheat. And I've heard that said. We interviewed Dr. William Davis, the author of Wheat Belly, in a recent podcast, and that's his theory. But I'm going to share with you an innovative new idea by why wheat seems to be so toxic to so many people. And this is from greenmedinfo.com. The story is called "The Real Reason Wheat is Toxic." In parentheses, it's not gluten or hybridization. So what is it if it's not gluten or hybridization? So this person speculates, so what indeed is going on with wheat? So they conclude that finally the answer came over dinner a couple of months ago with a friend who is well-versed in wheat production processes. And what it turns out to be is that wheat is often grown with lots and lots and lots of pesticides. Here's what this insider had to say about modern techniques for wheat agriculture. Common wheat harvest protocol in the United States is to drench the wheat fields with Roundup several days before the combine harvesters work through the fields, as the practice allows for an earlier, easier, and bigger harvest. So Dr. Stephanie Seneff of MIT, who's been a guest here on Intelligent Medicine, has studied the issue in depth. And she says that when you expose wheat to a toxic chemical like glyphosate, which is Roundup, it actually releases more seeds, resulting in a slightly higher yield. So that's good, right? But the stuff is toxic. This ultimately can have an impact on our gastrointestinal systems, causing leaky gut syndrome, causing food antigens to penetrate into our systemic circulation. And this is a problem. There's actually a paper on this that we'll post at drhoffman.com. Glyphosate, a.k.a. Roundup, Pathways to Modern Diseases, Celiac Sprue, and Gluten Intolerance. So a fascinating story. We may invite her back on the air to talk about this story that suggests, you know, why, oh, why are so many people all of a sudden so sensitive to wheat, what was once thought to be the staple of life? All right, here's something else that's natural. It's pot, and pot legalization is sweeping the country. I predict that, you know, within, you know, certainly the next 2, 3, perhaps 5 years, pot will be legal everywhere. Already they stopped arresting people for pot here in New York. You can carry a big bag of pot. I guess unless you have a pickup truck full of pot, they're not going to arrest you. So I don't think that this is so good. I personally don't think it's so good. And this is, I'm not naive to this. I'm not puritanical. Yes, I did go to college in the 60s and 70s, so I inhaled. I know about this. But there are some definite adverse health effects of pot. And by, in effect, condoning its use, you know, it's kind of a double, crazy double standard, because we say, oh, cigarettes, oh, that's terrible, terrible. There's one pharmacy, I think it's CVS, proudly announced they don't sell cigarettes anymore. But I predict within 2 or 3 years, when pot's legalized, they'll be selling marijuana. And that's total hypocrisy. So check this out. I mean, look, we're talking burning plant material that you deeply inhale, okay? Who smokes a cigarette like this? Nobody. I'm coughing and I just inhaled room air here in New York City. You inhale the stuff deep in your lungs. You hold it. It's hot, burning plant material. So they just did some research on this. It turns out there is such a thing as harmful effects of secondary pot smoke. So it's not even just don't smoke pot. It's like, hey, get your damn marijuana cigarette away from me. I know you have the right to smoke it, but please do not pollute my environment with secondhand smoke. This study looked at secondhand smoke in lab rats. It dropped a blood vessel function dropped by 70% after a mere half hour exposure to secondhand marijuana smoke. And that, those results are very comparable to what happens with secondhand tobacco smoke. Why not? It's burning plant material. Reduced blood vessel function, of course, can increase a person's risk of developing atherosclerosis, a precursor to heart attack and stroke. And the researcher here, senior author Dr. Matthew Springer, says smoke is smoke. Both tobacco and marijuana smoke impair blood vessel function similarly. And so, you know, to say that, oh, it's a harmless substance and, you know, no big deal, and let's make it widely available, maybe not such a good idea. It's not even to mention the psychological effects that chronic marijuana smoking may have on the vulnerable minds of our pre-adolescents, who now have ever more easy access to marijuana and marijuana products. So kids, keep tobacco smoke and marijuana smoke alike contain thousands of chemicals, many of which are toxic. So what are we talking about here? Maybe we should rethink this before it's too late. All right, 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Have you heard about the superfood discovered by Olympic athletes for its stamina-boosting effects? Beetroot juice caused waves at the last Olympics because clinical studies proved 2 glasses of beetroot juice per day could increase stamina by 16%. Beets are a nutritional goldmine full of antioxidants, polyphenols, and electrolytes. But instead of trying to drink all that beetroot juice daily, I take Super Beets to get the same great benefits. Super Beets helps your body create nitric oxide, which helps you boost circulation, relax arteries, and maintain healthy blood pressure levels. Whenever I need a performance boost, I take Super Beets. It's my new favorite product. Each great-tasting serving gives me a rush of energy and stamina. Go to IntelligentBeets.com right now, and with my special offer, you get a 30-day supply for free with your first order. Plus, get a free book, Beat the Odds, to learn more about the benefits of beets. And you get free shipping and a 100% money-back guarantee. So call 800-738-2198 or go to IntelligentBeets.com. That's 800-738-2198. Again, 800-738-2198, or go to intelligentbeats.com right now.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. All right, this is a new medical phenomenon. It is called text neck, as in texting. And, you know, it's a common sight here in New York. You walk down the street, you know, somebody's bearing down on you, and they're not looking at you. They're looking at their phone, and they're bent over in a prayer-like position with their neck bent at a 45-degree angle or worse, and they're peering into their phone because the phone is tiny and the print is small, and you got to, like, crane your neck to see. And I even find myself doing this. I get into all kinds of contortions sometimes looking at my phone. And so there's an article on this about text neck, and they actually have the statistic. I was citing this earlier when we talked to a woman in the last hour about torticollis of the neck. I said that the head weighs 6 to 8 pounds. Well, I was wrong. It weighs 10 to 12 pounds. And you amplify the pressure on your neck with each degree of bending of your neck. So at 0 degrees, your weight bearing is 10 to 12 pounds. But bending the head at a 60-degree angle, looking at your phone, puts 60 pounds of additional pressure on your neck. An intermediate tilt of 30 degrees puts 40 additional pounds of pressure on your neck. And, you know, I bet physiatrists and chiropractors are seeing a lot more of this. Extra pressure put on the neck leads to early wear and tear. The person may eventually have problems, need surgery. So this is a big problem because we're, you know, it ain't natural. It ain't because it, you know, just got to look at everything in a Paleolithic perspective. Did humans, when we evolved 50,000 years ago or so, did we have little tiny devices that we bent forward to look into? Already, I know that my posture's been ruined by years of reading. I'm slumped forward because I've been curling up, reading books. It spoiled my eyesight already at the age of, about 7 or 8. And much of this adaptation puts wear and tear on our skeletal system. So this is part of the hazards of modern life. And, you know, a suggestion is, I don't know, raise your text size, hold the phone away, be conscious about your bending over, because you could create some lifelong problems. But some of you are rubbing your neck as we speak, thinking about, hey, maybe it's the cell phone. I've been noticing my neck is pretty darn stiff lately. All right, this item. Lots of people have atrial fibrillation. That's a common problem. You know, very, very likely that after the age of 65, you might develop atrial fibrillation. It's okay, because you can live with atrial fibrillation. It's potentially dangerous because you can flip a blood clot to your brain. So you take various types of medication that thin the blood. But this is an important awareness point, is that lots of people the self-same age have aches and pains. They have osteoarthritis, they have knee pain, they have back pain, and they're told to take Advil or Motrin or Aleve. These are advertised all the time on TV. And they're one of the most common over-the-counter drugs that people purchase in drugstores on their own. Plus, more powerful non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs are often prescribed for arthritis. So here's the study. It's from the Annals of Internal Medicine, and it's a call to action. These drugs are assumed to increase bleeding risk, right? That they thin the blood, because they will. They will actually cause gastrointestinal bleeding, no question. But paradoxically, they'll increase the risk of bleeding in your gastrointestinal tract, no question. Tens of thousands of people get hospitalized every year due to bleeding caused by these drugs. But when patients take blood-thinning medication for atrial fibrillation, they thicken the blood. The use of NSAIDs in this study was associated with increased risks for serious bleeding. All right, gastrointestinal bleeding, no question. But paradoxically, for blood clots. So it's kind of the worst of both worlds. You have a risk of excess bleeding in your gastrointestinal tract, but you may neutralize the effects of your blood-thinning medication. And now there's several. There's not just Coumadin, but there are other medications. An NSAID dosage above the recommended minimum was associated with a substantially increased hazard ratio for bleeding. So how many doctors are going to pay attention to this? How many patients are going to pay attention to this? They urge that physicians and patients should exercise caution with non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, particularly if they have atrial fibrillation. So, big problem. All right, this item is concerning because, you know, a lot of people are gluten-free and a lot of people on virtuous diets. So what do they eat? They eat rice. And they eat all manner of gluten-free rice pasta, rice breadcrumbs, etc., etc. Well, there's a concern. This was actually first enunciated by Dr. Oz on his show, is that rice may be a significant source of arsenic. And why that is because rice actually, like many plants, it detoxifies the soil. That's good for the soil, but that's not great for the plant. It actually sucks arsenic out of the soil and into the plant, and thereby into you. Now, some of you are going to say, all right, well, but I eat wholesome organic brown rice. That's better than refined products. Well, in a surprising twist, brown rice has 80% more arsenic than white rice, since arsenic actually accumulates in the grain's outer layers, which are sheared off when you refine rice. It turns out that brown rice from California, India, or Pakistan are the best choices in this category, according to the report. Brown rice from California has the lowest arsenic levels. Rice from Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana tend to contain the highest levels of inorganic arsenic. So you got to be careful. You know, it's even suggested that children who are particularly vulnerable to the effects consume rice pasta and hot rice cereal only once every 2 weeks, as these products have higher point values in terms of the rice content. It even suggested, and you know, I haven't heard this said before, but maybe we should pay attention to this warning. Children younger than 5 should not drink rice drinks as a substitute for milk. You may think, oh, that's better, it's low fat, but rice holds higher levels of arsenic than other grains and acts as a sponge for arsenic from the soil. So don't give up rice. I eat a lot of rice, but keep it to a dull roar, and preferentially source your rice from California and India and Pakistan. Often these countries are thought to be unreliable sources, but in this case, better than Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana, where the soil is particularly rich in arsenic. All right, I want to take the time to wish you all a very, very happy Thanksgiving. If you're traveling, safe travels. Enjoy time with your family. Here's a suggestion. This Thanksgiving, consider paying it forward, because before that big potlatch where you consume thousands and thousands of calories, this is actually a Thanksgiving tradition for me, is I always take a run, or, you know, if it's absolutely freezing, I'll get in the pool, do something, take a, you know, go to a spin class so that I can pay it forward and pre-atone for the caloric excess that I'll be subjecting my body to. So think about that this Thanksgiving. There are lots of opportunities, lots of races are organized, football games, you know, like get back together with your high school buddies and play football, throw the football around, play some softball, get some calorie burn going before your Thanksgiving potlatch. Pay it forward this Thanksgiving and enjoy it very much. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Have a great holiday. This is Intelligent Medicine.